Approval of the agenda.
Approval of the agenda. If there's no changes, I'll make a.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Jones, second by Mr. Phillips to approve the agenda for August 22nd, 2006, for Sussex County Council as in printed form. Questions? Mr. Cole's not arrived yet. Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
I vote as yes. This morning, we're starting an hour early for reasonings of a very important concern the council has, and that's the selection of our land use consultant. And the committee done a very good job by presenting council with a group of finalists, and the council has elected to have the two of the finalists come in today, at which time, I don't know where Hal went to, but at this time, we're going to have a presentation by Urban Research and Development Corporation. Hal, do you want to give the introduction for the land use consultant that's coming up, presentation, or? And what we'll do is let the consultant give their full presentation before we interject any questions.
Mr. President, members of council, as last meeting, you asked for the opportunity to speak with two of our consultants as to the selection of a consultant to do our five-year land use, comprehensive land use plan review and update. And first, here we have folks from Urban Research and Development who were one of our interviewees. And I'll turn it over to them.
Okay.
Good morning and thank you.
Good morning.
My name is Paul Driscoll. I'm a vice president and partner in the firm of Urban Research and Development Corporation, URDC for short. This is Charlie Schmale. He's also a vice president and partner of our firm. And if we're fortunate enough to be selected, he would be the project manager, which means that he would be the primary contact between your staff and our firm. And secondly, it means that he would be responsible for ultimately delivering the product on time and to the satisfaction of the county. We're a 20-person firm of planners, economic development specialists, and designers. We've participated in transportation studies. We have designed residential developments and other types of developments, but we are not an engineering firm. Our bread and butter, our specialty, is comprehensive plan, land use planning, and zoning. And to that end, we have probably prepared comprehensive plans, land use plans, open space, land preservation plans, zoning ordinances, etc., for over 100 clients. That's just talking about Charlie and myself. We've worked for a number of counties at the county level, Wicomico in Maryland, Worcester in Maryland, Queen Anne's, Kent County, we've been retained by, and a couple in Pennsylvania as well. We've worked in some large cities, Pennsylvania, Scranton, and Harrisburg. We've worked in smaller urbanized areas. As you're probably aware, that we're now working in Georgetown. We've worked in resort areas or areas with historic, special historic qualities like Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And just as importantly, I think, we've worked in rural areas or semi-developed areas that are facing development pressure. And that's where we think that some of our work takes on its greatest importance, and that's where we sort of developed our philosophy and approach towards doing a land use plan. And that is, you won't stop growth. Your job is to direct it to appropriate locations at appropriate densities. We want to use regulations not to hamper growth, but to ensure quality projects. And we want to be able to attract development that will provide the real estate tax revenues, the jobs, the spin-off revenues for existing businesses, but in such a way as you're not compromising the quality of this area, including its man-made environment and its natural environment. Now, we recognize that our time is real short here, and I'm going to cut myself off right there. Probably that's enough about us. You have additional reading materials that you can look at till the cows come home. Charlie Schmale is going to talk a little bit about what we see as some of the important issues facing your county in this project. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to appear before you today. Again, my name is Charlie Schmale. In recognition of the limited time on your schedule today, we did not provide the full PowerPoint presentation before you. Instead, we provided paper copies of that we provided to the staff. Compromise, consensus, and communication. That's really the hallmarks of a productive land use planning process. By that we mean first listening to the most knowledgeable people in the county. Key person interviews at the very start of the process to talk to the people who know most about the existing trends and conditions. Having a very representative committee is another big part of the process. Bringing in your critics into the room and having them participate into the process is helpful. Having people from many geographic areas, many different interests, and having their input from the very beginning in the process as opposed to having the criticism occur later. We recommend public meetings in the middle of the process. That's the most productive time. If the public meetings are too early in the process, they become directionless gripe sessions. If the public meetings are all at the end of the process, people feel they haven't had a chance to be involved before the decisions were made. So the public meetings in the middle of the process in the various geographic areas in the county is really critical, we would suggest. We have no preconceived ideologies. We realize we have not been elected. We follow the opinions and the decisions of the elected decision makers. Our job is to serve as a staff to talk about alternatives and to talk about the implications of the different alternatives. And part of that, we believe in using a lot of guidelines and recommendations too, in addition to the hammer of regulations. Well, many of these guidelines, for instance, come out of the state's federal models for development, but there's many other things that could be done. For instance, Georgetown has an excellent set of development guidelines that are advisory. We specialize in implementation. That's really what's important. Otherwise, it's just a book with a set of ideas. This includes practical, workable ordinances. I personally specialize in writing development regulations, and I've been doing that for 21 years. Many of the development regulations I wrote 20 years ago, actually all of them are still in effect, which shows you that they pass the test of time with minor revisions. I also provide a lot of expert testimony on very complex zoning matters, which provides an understanding of both sides of the equation, the developer challenges and also the municipal justification and what judges over time have found to be defensible and not defensible. In addition, I've served for the last 10 years on a Pennsylvania state committee that's reviewed and recommended a large number of changes to state law on planning issues, and that provides a foundation for looking at many of the issues that Delaware State is currently reviewing. As far as compliance with the state law, I'd suggest to you that the county can establish a spirit of cooperation to follow the intent of the state law, but look at alternatives and approach the state with other ways of doing the same objective where that makes sense. Looking for ways to follow the state's policies, but with locally chosen methods. And again, maybe coming back to the state and saying, we would like to achieve your objective, but we'd rather do it this way than that way. Again, through incentives and disincentives can be very productive. Most current state laws are actually, if you read the fine print, they're not mandates. For instance, many of the laws say that the final decision is held by the county. The state can require revisions, they can require reviews, but the final decision is still with the county under the current laws. The difference is the proposed State Sprawl Management Act, which is a whole different story. That would be an absolute mandate and would really change the ballgame in Sussex County by requiring 4-acre minimum lot sizes in much of the county and by banning new central sewage systems. So that would be a whole different situation, but again, that's only a proposal. We realize the county is already carrying out the state mandate to work with the wellhead protection and the groundwater protection ordinances. Again, it's a situation where the county has to do them, but the county decides what will be in the ordinances. The state has the green infrastructure map, which covers very large areas of Sussex County. The question is that only going to be used for voluntary acquisition and voluntary easements, or is the state going to use that in other ways? And I personally don't know the answer to that. We also suggest that the plan can reflect consensus in different geographic parts of the county. There are very, very different populations in different parts of the county. Right now, you have pretty much a one-size-fits-all zoning ordinance. There's one district that covers most of the undeveloped land in this county. We'd suggest to you that the plan could recommend some variations in different areas based upon local opinions and local issues. One example of where we've had this experience is in Garrett County, Maryland. We did two comprehensive plans for Garrett County. That includes a Deep Creek area in western Maryland. And we did all of their development regulations and most of the plans and regulations for the towns in Garrett County. And they faced a large number of state mandates at the time Governor Glenn Denning was in office. And we worked through balance and compromise to meet those mandates in a way that reflected local opinions. Most of Garrett did not have zoning, and they didn't want zoning. But we found ways to address the state objectives in a way that the local people, the local elected officials, and most of the public was willing to accept. The state, it's not exactly what the state wanted, but it met their intent and addressed all the issues that they required to be addressed. And we met with the state agencies, explained to them what was achievable locally and that what was possible. Transfer development rights. I am a huge proponent of transfer development rights. I think it's a great way to have voluntary land preservation. That's the key word, is voluntary. It's a way to direct growth without harming property values, because the people do not have to sell their development rights if they don't want to. They voluntarily participate. But what it does is it directs development from locations where the state would prefer that it not occur to locations that are more able to achieve the higher density. It uses private developer dollars to preserve land, to supplement the state dollars in land preservation. Now, the state has proposed a TDR bank, which is a rather complex process. But if you don't wish to participate in that, you don't have to, because the current state law allows the county today, if you wish, to establish your own TDR program with your own set of provisions the way the county wants it under county control. So don't think that it's a matter of state TDR or nothing. There is this alternative right there today where you can have a voluntary system of having a developer in one part of the county pay a landowner in another part of the county to permanently preserve their land, and in return, the developer is able to take the number of houses that would have been allowed in that agricultural area and move it to a more suitable location within limits. And we've written a lot of TDR ordinances over the years. There's a lot of places where it's worked. The last point I wanted to make was about transportation. Your original request for proposal did not include a transportation element. It only talked about a land use plan, so we did not propose that. But as we talk to more and more people in this county, we understand that traffic is becoming a limiting factor, that it's really starting to affect people's day-to-day lives, and it's starting to inhibit the development process too, and the state is not moving very fast on a lot of their projects. If you wish to include a transportation plan that's independently prepared as part of this effort, we would be interested in proposing to you using Orth Rogers and Associates as a sub-consultant to us. They do a lot of work in this county right now. We have very good relations with them. We work with them on numerous projects, and they would be interested in working with you on this project. And part of the goal is to look for short-term solutions to bottlenecks, not just huge bypasses that are 20, 30, 40 years into the future, but let's look at where the worst bottlenecks are today, and let's try to find some cost-effective solutions that may involve cooperative efforts with adjacent landowners, with developers, to make these projects work without having to wait for a very lengthy, federally mandated environmental review process, which happens with the bypasses. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here, and we'd like to hear your questions and your comments.
Gentlemen, in the essence of time, let's, if you want to, we'll just start out by going right down the list. Everybody ask a question. If we got time, we can interact a little
just
bit.
Just one at a time and then go back around until we run out of time?
I think that's fair. Mr. Griffin, I think that's fair. Let's start, Mr. Cole.
But we're going to do it. In other words, you don't want me to just keep on asking a bunch of questions.
Let everybody get a shot. Do your priority questions and then.
Well, I'll just start. I guess. Let me just, it was interesting to hear you about the TDRs in Maryland and a lot of things. A lot of the smart growth issues in Maryland have all been scrapped because people find it sounded good on paper. It's not real practical. In my opinion, it's a lot of feel-good type of stuff, political correctness in land use. But anyway, that's just my editorial comment. So when you said transfer development rights, and you're a big proponent of it, do you consider, when you mentioned our large agricultural residential district, which takes up most of the county, that we permit two units and actually in excess of that as a permitted use?
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Do you consider that high density in an agricultural district? Because here's my concern. When you start transferring, because the receiving people don't want it. Right, and it's not very popular, and it just seems it's a nightmare. This banking and everything else they're talking about. Who's going to keep track of it all? But it seems like they're going to shift more of it to the coastal area or other areas that are already burdened so much with infrastructure problems that we don't see any way out of it. So a transfer of development rights is going to transfer, and God knows where. I don't trust this council to do the right thing when it comes to receiving and, you know, in areas and this and that, because there's always been an east-west type of situation here. If you look at the way things are developed.
Is there a question in there somewhere?
The question is about, I'm getting like Joe Biden, aren't I?
Sure.
He started a county
government. You're talking a lot and saying nothing.
Yeah, okay, TDR. Tell me, how do you think it'll work in this county?
Local decision-making. The county, I suggest to you, should design its own system and not rely upon the state system. You decide where the growth area should be based upon this process, the public meetings, the debate, a representative committee, the ability of the land to support
it. With our current map, we've already said our environmentally sensitive district is our development district, which is crazy also. But anyway, that's how we have it here. So my gut feeling is, unless you keep it within watersheds tight, you know, if you're shifting around transferring developing rights maybe within a watershed, that might make sense. But to shift it from one side of the county to the other side of the county is just going to make a lot of people angry.
That's a policy decision, and the idea of this process is to work out those policies and those issues.
But as a proponent, you don't take any position on it.
We're not in a position to tell you right now what the plan should say. We're saying that TDR is a great tool because it meets the state objectives in a way that also preserves private equity.
Okay, Mr. Phillips.
All right. Okay,
Mr. Phillips.
Property rights are very important in this county. There's a belief that regulatory takings are a taking in spirit with the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution's takings clause. How do you feel about property rights and the your view on trying to provide just compensation when these types of takings occur?
That's a very, very broad question. To give you a concise answer, we need to make sure everyone is allowed a reasonable use of their property, and we need to find ways to use incentives and disincentives and options to help carry out the policies in a way that's fair to the property owner.
I think I can add to that very briefly. We feel strongly about property rights, and as I tried to allude to in my presentation, when we're talking about regulations, we're talking about regulations not for the purpose of stopping or even slowing development in particular, but directing it to areas that are appropriate in the county at appropriate densities and using regulations to get the best quality development, not to hamper development.
I mean, just to build one other point, one of the great advantages of a program like TDR is it can help to preserve agricultural land where people want to continue farming, where they don't want a dense development next to their farm and they'd like to continue and don't want those conflicts. So again, adjacent landowners can work together, they can receive compensation, and they can continue farming in certain areas where they choose to do so.
It's not a second question. I just need you to elaborate on the word disincentive. You've used it twice. And disincentive,
yes,
to me is creating a loser in the process. Now, what do you mean when you say creating disincentives?
again, it all depends how the county wants to structure it, and we're not in a position today to tell you what the plan should say today. But in other communities, what they often do is to make the incentive to want to use transfer development rights is that they lower the maximum density to start with. You might work with the towns, for instance, and I know in Georgetown, for instance, I've made an argument that some of their densities are too high. You can do 15 homes per acre in parts of suburban Georgetown. I've suggested, you know, maybe you drop that down to 10 or 12, and then you have some incentive to get it back up to that density if they follow certain recommended guidelines that you'd like to follow.
If a majority of this council said that was a nutty idea,
then I follow that. You're the elected of people. We're not.
Of course, I'm a firm believer in property rights also, that I think the majority of the council is. But I also realize that the town centers and some of those areas, even though some of the council don't believe that, should be higher density, should have overlay zones, should have incentives, like with stores, you can build, go to 20, 30 units to the acre in certain areas. Is that something that overlay? I mean, I think we should create those type of situations, incentives in certain areas closer to the town centers. Is that something that...
As an overall philosophy, I think it's fair to say that we agree with that. The idea of concentrating trading growth in the areas that already have the infrastructure, the ideas of concentrating growth near the existing population centers, that just makes sense from a planning perspective. How you do it, as Charlie is trying to say, we'll work that out. But as a philosophy, sure.
Okay. And one related topic is the clustering that the county has. I mean, one of the great advantages of clustering is you can reduce the improvement cost per home, which is a big issue. Particularly road costs have greatly increased with petroleum prices. So if you can have the proper types of clustering incentives and disincentives, you can lower the cost per house to build the house.
Goes back to affordable
and still preserve the open space.
Mr. Dukes.
We've had a lot of discussion about sprawl, what creates sprawl and how to stop sprawl. And each councilman has a different opinion. You said something about four units to the acre a while ago, and tell me how increasing the size of the lot is going to decrease sprawl.
I said that the state had considered the Sprawl Prevention Act, and if that would pass, it would really change things in the county. I was not advocating that at all. That is something that is proposed before the legislature, and I was simply making the point that right now most of the state laws are not absolute mandates, but if that law would pass, then there would be an absolute mandate that would greatly change the equation.
That probably was proposed by someone who's running for re-election.
As you've heard from my colleagues here, that's pretty much a divided county with agriculture and resort. So when these farmers get approached by developers, and we're pretty much property right advocates up here, that before they've been offered funding for their land so someone can build two units to the acre, besides just TDRs, what other options have you been involved with that agriculture and equity, so these farmers don't lose their equity of the land? They can come to the county and say, what's the other options do I have besides selling out? And maybe they don't want TDRs. What Mr. Cole said is, you know, if we did TDRs, it probably have to be sectorized because there's not enough receiving area at the beach. And, you know, that, and that's a pretty much of a fact out there on the table. But what experience have you had with dealing with the pressure put on ag to sell out, but yet give them some options so they can have the equity of their land and leave it open space and still tell it, lease it out, or whether they do besides the TDR? What other options do you have on the table? Because we have a real butting of the heads with state planning on a number of issues, and the way they always went out, you said that they have, you know, it's not a mandate, it's not a law, and the final decision is here, but the municipalities are held hostage when they say they want to do something. It's not what state planning wants. They hold the funding up in the future. So that's...
infrastructure loans and so forth.
Yes. So Grant, what's your experience with that, agriculture versus equity?
The county's clustering, you can look at a whole series of alternatives. And one thing, for instance, may be if a landowner owns three large parcels, they might be able to cluster the homes on one of those parcels and keep the other two open if they wish. And you give it incentives, disincentives, options to make these things happen. There's a lot that can be done with average density, with different types of open space development. Another thing we like to do is have incentives for buffers against active farmland. So you don't have a development of 200 new homes being built 20 feet away from someone who is trying to continue farming. So you have incentives to have some of that open space occur as a buffer between the new homes and the farmland, so it's easier for those people to continue farming. But again, a lot of it comes down to providing choices to people, not saying one size fits all, and this is the only way you can do it.
And all the options we discussed in the past, as Mr. Phelps alluded to, was the farmer usually ends up being the loser, and that's not what we're looking for. Does anyone have any final question that we could just, could you summarize to us?
Well, how much time were we giving everybody?
We got about a half three more minutes.
Let's just say, can we just keep on going until we run out of questions?
We got about eight more minutes.
We got the other guys, right?
We got another one to interview.
Yeah, we got one more yet.
You got eight more minutes. Well, I was going to say, we got a couple more minutes. I was under the impression we had time for more. You said we have this one district, agriculture district, which seems like a
one size
broad,
fits all.
Right. Some ideas, some thoughts on what we should do to that?
I think that you have to examine the options again that Charlie's talking about. Cluster development.
Well, we already done stuff
yes.
like that.
But there's different ways to do cluster.
Well, right now, my perception, again, I differ from a lot of these gentlemen on my approach to all this stuff, but it seems to me that Sussex County is one big development district because we have such a high density that's permitted and so many of these cluster housing, different things, have basically made the agriculture district very attractive for development. We've got one size fits all, so now we're getting pockets all over, big communities the size of small towns. That probably shouldn't be what a planner would be longing for and spread all out. Anyway, do you have any, could you give us some ideas where you've used, where somebody had a broad district like this and they broke down their agriculture district other ways? I mean, is there other, some thoughts on what we could do?
Garrett County, we did divide the rural areas into different types of development districts and had variations depending on the features of the land and the different areas. We did that through a subdivision ordinance because they didn't want zoning in most of the county.
Right.
But, I mean, that's the whole idea, is look at what is the capacity of the land to support the development, what's the capacity of the road system, what's the local interests, local opinions, and what is the interest in our cultural preservation in different areas of the county, and craft policies to take all these issues together and figure out what should be the best alternatives.
Well, like you said, carrying capacity studies. Do you ever utilize carrying capacity studies?
We've done impact analysis where we've said, if this piece of land is developed this way, here's the impacts. If this is developed this way, this is the impacts. Some of that could be tied into a transportation study, too.
Because, the state does all the transportation around here. We don't do any. That's the trouble. With gridlock, we're stuck.
Yes.
If it wasn't for the developers, we would never
have Mr. Furman?
If it wasn't for some of the subdivisions, we would never have any.
Let's fill.
Well, you keep approving them.
Probably need to just clarify one thing. He continues to refer to most of the county as an ag district. It's really not. We have ag districts in the form of the preserved agricultural preservation districts.
Correct.
That have been bought and paid for. Those development rights have been stripped of that property, but a fair compensation mechanism has been put in place. They voluntarily sold those rights. That is our ag district. There'll never be development in those ag districts. What we do have is a lot of AR1 land, which is ag residential.
Huh.
And because of that residential component, those folks have a tremendous amount of equity that a majority of this council believes is worth protecting.
That's really the area, as I was mentioning earlier, where the rubber meets the road in this planning process.
Does, and I just wanted to make sure that was clear. Half of this county would be considered resort, the other half agriculture. Have you experience in developing a plan that has, such a diverse difference in its county's makeup?
Again, Garrett County has different geography, but it was very similar. They had a major resort area around the Deep Creek Lake, around Oakland, and then they had many other areas where there was a lot of farmland, a lot of forests, and the people didn't want zoning and they didn't want land controls.
50-50 there?
Population-wise, yes. Land area was about probably 80-20.
There is
a zoning. One more question.
I'll pass it.
Mr. Dukes? You have an office. Where is your office located?
Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Okay, you have nothing in Delaware?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, Mr. Cole keeps alluding to his 2 units, the acre high density in an AR district. And
for years we've had that discussion. It used to be that the council thought that 6-8 units to the acre was high density, and over the years we've sort of caved in and we're down now to, he says if you got more than 2 units to the acre, it's high density.
No, Dale, I said in the agricultural district. Paul,
you've had your
district.
Turn. Ooh,
I know, but just don't
you had
twist
your turn.
It.
Not the
debate.
Go ahead,
please,
question.
Dale, you're
so
twisting.
I would be very careful in how you are saying that 2 units to the acre is high density in Sussex County.
I don't believe I
you
made
very,
any reference to what is high density.
You were very tactful about it. You did a very good job at answering the question. But,
more tactful
the majority of the council does not believe that 2 units is high density in county.
Understood.
Okay, gentlemen, if you'd like to summarize real quickly in 1 minute why you think you should get the job, we'll go right on.
Okay, let me start. As I mentioned, first of all, we are a planning firm. Specialty is planning and zoning, not engineering. As Charlie has alluded to, and we could go on, we have a lot of examples where we tackle these very same type of issues. Secondly, we are already on the ground here in the county. We're working in Georgetown, yet we bring experience from Pennsylvania, from Maryland. We don't have a bias or an objective, or we are objective rather than biased at this point.
One closing question I think summarized, to finish what you said. Our staff, we have come up with a plan, and our staff ends up having to write the ordinances. Do you offer the ordinances to go along with the plan to give it to?
Most definitely. My shortest answer I can give you on that.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. I want to thank you for coming this morning, spending time with us, and we're right on the minute. So thank you, gentlemen, for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Goblin. Well,
we're going to step out during the other consultant's presentation. Would you like us to be available in case there's questions afterwards?
No, there'll be no more questions. We got a full agenda.
Okay. Thank you very much. Then we'll leave for the day.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Goblin.
I never referenced any of you guys individually, so if you guys have a question, ask your question, but don't have to bring me into it, okay? Because all you're going to do is bring me in to clarify your perception of what I said, because it's usually dead wrong. So please, if you have any comments, Dale, leave me out of it and make your comments.
Mr. Cole.
Don't always have to say Mr. Okay. Cole. Don't use me as your boogeyman.
Well, I think everybody knew who I was talking about. I mean, I should
so
not,
you made my, you say my
name. I should have not used your name then.
Thank you.
I'll say the, well, I'll say the councilman on the end.
Do whatever you want. All right. But if you can't if you can't control yourself, because I don't say Dale Dukes says this.
Oh, please.
No, you'll just start the bickering here in front of these gentlemen.
Is
if you want to look like I'm you can refer to me anything you want, sir.
How shall I refer to you?
That's fine with me. But just if you guys have questions, ask your questions.
Liberal.
Ask your questions. Don't let the doors.
Whatever you want to call me, Vance. I could call you the idiot on the right.
You've done that several times.
Right. You're the one's got the opponent. And a darn good one.
Door's paid. It'll be a couple seconds while I allow the second presenter to get set up. If you'd like to come up and get set up, that's fine. Just come right on up and set up. Come right on front and set up. That's up to you. Seconds get set up and you can
sure.
Introduce 5, 6, 7, 8.
Mr. President, members of council, our second consulting firm this morning for your consideration is Johnson, Merriman, and Thompson. And the three associates that are here, I'll introduce as Mr. Duplessis. I know I pronounced that wrong, sorry.
Duplessis.
April Showers and Bruce McClure.
Come right to the mic.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We prepared a PowerPoint, but just to try to save time, we're just going to go ahead and use the handout.
That's cool.
Well, you make your presentation, then we'll ask the questions when you complete.
All right. Thank you.
Proceed.
All right. Well, first, I'd like to thank Council for inviting us here to present for this project. Certainly, with the amount of development activity in the county, this is a very important time for this project. As you know, the comprehensive plan is going to set the framework for land development and how this county will grow and look into the future. Our presentation is going to basically focus on our technical ability to do the work as well as our approach to this project, and specifically looking at how we can ensure that the comp plan will comply with state requirements. In a broad sense, our technical ability is demonstrated by the fact that, by the resources that we can bring to this project. Our firm is a nationally ranked planning and engineering firm. We provide multidisciplinary services, and we're going to draw on those resources to support this plan. I'd also like to point out that JMT works only for public agencies. We do not do private land development work. And with this approach, we work for all levels of government. Some of our local clients include the City of Rehoboth Beach, Town of Bethany Beach, the Dover Kent County MPO, Kent County, Newcastle County. And representing these clients, we have to work with a variety of other agencies and coordinate different issues with those agencies. And our approach is to be advocates for our client. And we've been successful in that role for all our clients. The second page shows the organization chart for this project. Basically, we designated individuals for the variety of disciplines that would be required to help support the plan development. We have individuals assigned for land use planning, transportation planning, facilities, as well as water and wastewater. We also have economic development specialists that will help support the project. April Showers will be our project manager. And she will lead every aspect of this project. April brings along a resume of both work in both the public sector as well as the private sector, preparing comprehensive plans. My role is limited to QAQC, to provide quality control for the submissions that we make and the product that we put together. I'll also ensure that we have adequate resources assigned to this project. And at this point, I'd like to turn it over to April to go through our approach.
On the next plan of the handout, we talk about our technical capabilities with respect to similar experience, and we've bulleted several of our projects. David talked about our experience here in Delaware. I have listed a lot of our master plan and comprehensive planning efforts that are in the state of Maryland as well as Pennsylvania. So we have a broad spectrum of experience across the Northeast. These similar projects take a look at a variety of aspects of comprehensive planning, including open space, TDRs, and a number of agricultural preservation conservation issues. So we have quite a bit of experience in those particular areas, as well as the areas that Dave had mentioned before. There's a little bit of a misconception on a lot of our clients' part when they talk to us. They think that we're predominantly a transportation firm. Well, we aren't. We have considerable experience in a number of different areas and have represented a number of clients looking at comprehensive planning issues as well as community facilities planning, which is very important when you're looking at the issues that the county's faced with today. The next page looks at our comprehensive plan methodology. Our methodology, it follows a typical comprehensive planning methodology where we look at trends, we look at trend analysis, working collaboratively with staff and other resource agencies with a number of different types of data that our indicate that track on the different trends for development and land use across the county as well as across the state. And we have GIS capabilities that help that allow us to quickly inventory and map and display those types of information for additional spatial analysis that would be built on through a build-out analysis. We propose to work collaboratively with the county staff, with the various entities within the county and interests within the county to go through a community visioning workshop and community visioning process where we look at where do you hope to be in the future as a county, or where do you hope to be in the future as an entity within the county, so that we can look at where your preferences lie and where you'd like to be maybe 10, 20, 25 years out. And we look at a build-out scenario under existing zoning and current conditions, looking at the trends. And sometimes when we do that, our clients maybe don't like what they see, and then we back up and we look at what's preferred, and we try to model that and look at the impacts of all those types of projections and those preferred scenarios. Ultimately, we're looking at land use and focusing on the use of land, but we can't ignore the fact that as you go through the comprehensive planning process, you have to integrate that with things like transportation, water, sewer, and other types of community facilities and resources so that you have adequate public facilities as development takes takes its toll. And then looking at conservation and resource protection as a whole across the county and in special areas that have already been identified, looking at housing capacity, integrating that with an active public involvement program, and then developing implementation strategies, policies, and projects and programs through that process. The next two pages give steps 1 through 7 that outline how we would in more detail look at existing conditions, reviewing all of that, looking at the requirements of Title IX, collaborating with staff and looking at Livable Delaware initiatives that are applicable that we need to be mindful of. And then step 2 is a continuous process, a continuous step throughout the entire process where we coordinate closely with state and local resource and planning agencies and with the towns as well, looking at what their desires are for annexation and growth, looking and discussing with key stakeholders, conducting interviews and focus group discussions, meeting with the municipalities, and any interest groups that you already know about or that emerged through this process. Our role is to listen and be educated by the public as well as educate them on a number of different topics that sometimes are hard to get your arms around and maybe technical in nature. And we're looking at modifying plan goals and objectives and strategies. You have a number of those already in your plan, but go back and look and see if there's any need to revisit those and tweak them. And then reviewing of local plans and coordinating with local officials and any other groups that, as I mentioned before, that are interested in the process and the future of the county. Primarily, we're going to look at updating the elements in compliance with the state requirements, preparing a draft, conducting necessary public meetings and hearings, and going through the formal adoption process, and then, again, working to propose implementation ordinances as you desire as you get through that process. We have a number of public involvement tools and techniques that we use that are outlined on the next page. I had mentioned previously the community visioning process. That's where we really look at adjusting plan goals and objectives and looking at that preferred future concept that we would then analyze through the build-out analysis. We have quite an extensive experience working with communities, conducting community surveys and questionnaires as they may need to filter more specific detailed information into the planning process. And then also meeting with special interest groups or any other groups that feel as though they need our attention and the county's attention to be focused on a special topic of some sort, and being able to listen, educate again, and take their input and build consensus through that process. Other types of public involvement tools and techniques include public relations with public announcements, notifications of meetings, building your website or building upon your website to help track the process and announce upcoming meetings, as well as then coordination with the media. It's important that the media has an opportunity to be part of that public process. The next page outlines the 10 core elements for the Title IX regulations, and then the 2 new elements, 11 and 12, that have been added with respect to state resource areas and water protection areas, and we're going to talk more specifically about how we intend to comply with state requirements. The following page talks about land use. We're going to look at your current land use patterns that were documented in the 2003 plan, and we're going to assemble as much information about what's happened since then to get a complete and accurate picture of where you are right now, where things stand. We'll work collaboratively with the Delaware Population Consortium to get population and employment projections so that we can build that into the modeling for the build-out analysis. Now, with Dave had mentioned our experience with the Denver Kent MPO, with that particular project, it was working on a long-range transportation plan, but they kind of put a new caveat to their long-range transportation plan for that MPO. They used a model that was developed using federal dollars to model land use, and they married and they had us integrate land use modeling with transportation modeling. So that model is available to augment our build-out analysis capabilities so that when we start looking at integrating land use with transportation, we have the ability to use another tool or technique to your advantage to look at those impacts. Now, in land use, we get into the discussion of growth areas, and proposed annexations, employment centers, growth boundaries, and then discussions about different tools and techniques such as TDRs and open space conservation, preservation, ag preservation, things of that nature, and I'll talk about those in just a couple minutes. But it's important to be able to go through the process to identify any changes in growth areas, specifically working collaboratively with the towns, because they have plans for growth that the county needs to be aware of, and then any collaboration that needs to take place to identify the community development districts, because we'll talk about that in a minute and the benefit of those. Looking at the next topic, mobility, this is where we're going to work collaboratively with DLDOT. We know that DLDOT's planning an update to the Sussex County Long-Range Transportation Plan, and that would be a process of collaboration so that we don't reinvent the wheel or duplicate effort, but be able to build upon that as well as be an advocate for the county to identify new growth areas where maybe transportation improvements need to be thought about, analyzed, and planned for. Taking into account the capacity preservation program and knowing that there are alternatives to that program. If we go through this process and we identify other areas where they're maybe not along some of these key corridors, but maybe need to identify other key corridors that need to get into that program or identify new alignments or new roadway networks that need to be identified through the comprehensive planning process. Here we'll talk about issues and problem areas, and again, building on what is being done by DLDOT, because we don't want to duplicate effort there, but also being able to review, check, and verify, make sure that it's this consistent with the issues that we're hearing coming out through the comprehensive planning process, and then being able to program and identify capital improvements. There are some new programs and regulations that we need to be mindful of with respect to safety lieu, and we'll be able to interject that through the process. Bruce is going to now talk about water and sewer.
Thank you, April. My point of view on this plan would be to focus on the water and the wastewater issues within the county. From my point of view, that's nothing more critical than a good water resource. You can have all the transportation, all the land available. If you don't have a good water background or water available to bring in your residents, to cover for your residents, none of the other issues in the plan are going to work. So from my perspective, this is probably the most important part of a comprehensive plan. So we're going to work closely with the tools that the state has available in looking at the source water assessment plans and protecting that resource you have and making sure that it's going to have a long-term life, long life use for your residents and for your future residents in the areas. We'll look at the regional plans. We'll tie those together with what your different communities are dealing with. We're going to update your inventory relative to where your wells are located, where your protection areas are identified, make sure those are reinforced, if you will. Look at issues where your future needs are going to be, making sure that, again, your resources that you have here are protected and meeting the future needs. The build-out assessment is critical. We're going to look at what is going to be available out there. From, again, your water resource is probably the most protective you want to have, and the wastewater needs. The county's in a unique situation where you're dealing with actually four different areas. You're looking at inland bait issues from a wastewater point of view. You're looking at the ocean issues. You're looking at Delaware Bay and the Chesapeake Bay. So you're dealing with a number of different entities relative to the wastewater areas that you're faced with. So in order to utilize that wastewater as a resource as well in a reuse issue is an important part of a comprehensive plan. All these aspects need to knit together with the water, the wastewater, and all the other land use issues within the county to have a strong, comprehensive plan. And with that, I'll turn it back to April for the balance of the presentation.
Thank you. The next topic I'm going to talk about is conservation, and it's closely related to what Bruce had mentioned. Conservation is going to be critical with respect to life-sustaining resources as you go through this comprehensive planning, not only for your current population, but for your projected population and growth areas, being able to have those areas to preserve and reserve those resources and then be able to adequately get them to those locations where growth will occur. It's important to for us to be able to build on the different resources that have been developed by the Department of Agriculture and DEMREC as we go through this process, and being able to look at those relationships between the different levels of strategy priorities and spending areas, and looking at options such as TDRs and exploring that, whether that's a best fit for the county, and looking at preserving level four areas as sending areas for TDRs and levels one through three as receiving areas for TDRs. And looking at also being able to identify community development districts so that you can realize the full advantage of being able to prioritize and having those prioritized investments for infrastructure in those particular areas, both on the public and the private side, because it's a give and take. And looking at the green infrastructure and the greenways and the connections that need to take place to connect parks, recreation, and open space areas, and those opportunities throughout the county as development occurs, and being able to preserve those. This is all a process of integrating it through that build-out analysis and looking at those options for future development in areas where there should be preservation and conservation, and areas where development should be allowed. All based on the ability of the networks that are in place today and possibly plan for the future. Looking at recreation and open space, there's a direct link again to conservation and that land use component, as well as there's a connection with transportation, with being able to have greenways, trails and paths, being able to connect development. We hear this routinely from communities that quality of life factors are not just based upon how quickly I can get in my car and get from point A to point B, although that seems to be a testing point for a lot of people. But they also want to know, do we have adequate green space, recreation space, and can I get on a trail, can I get on a path? So that's becoming important as your population maybe changes or as it grows. So we need to be looking at that and building upon what the state has already developed through their comprehensive outdoor recreation program. We've looked at that. There's quite a bit of detail in there, but there's some additional detail that probably needs to be addressed through your comprehensive planning effort. The next topic, community design. Again, this would be a collaboration with some of the state agencies that have some standards that they've set that they'd like to see the various counties look at and consider. Not to say that what the state has set is always going to be the optimum for the county, but looking at what those thresholds are that they would desire you to look at with respect to community design and historic preservation and different densities and standards for growth management, and being able to work collaboratively with the community, with all the various interest groups, and come up with design growth management strategies that are best for the county, looking at mixed-use cluster development in certain areas where you have urban areas or you're trying to expand urban areas, and looking at cluster development options for more rural areas where you want to promote and preserve open space and agricultural lands where it's appropriate, and looking at TNDs, traditional neighborhood developments in village districts where maybe you already have villages or you want to create new villages. Planned developments and employment centers, looking at, and we'll talk about employment centers in just a minute, but looking at also historic preservation guidelines that may go a little bit above and beyond what's out there in areas where you have substantial historic resources that's important to preserve, and then ultimately being able to provide adequate public facilities as you go through this design approach. Housing. We propose that we would build upon the affordable housing initiative that the county recently adopted and build upon what the state housing authority has identified and documented, and looking at providing housing for all types of income levels across the county based on different locations where that need may be. Looking at substandard units and the condition of units is very important, being able to find ways and develop strategies and programs to bring those units up to standards. Many of those programs are already in place, but looking at that through a housing capacity analysis and looking at where you maybe have some needs and where would be the appropriate areas to look at meeting those needs from a housing capacity standpoint. And that all gets into location, location analysis, where there are employment centers, where there are shopping centers, and where there are entertainment centers and things of that nature, where people might like to live based on natural amenities. So it's a fully integrated process. One topic will have a lot of detail focused on it, but they're all integrated with one another. Looking at the intergovernmental coordination approach, this is where we really want to focus heavily on proposed annexations of the towns and looking at employment centers and new employment centers and development districts, as I mentioned before, because it's going to be crucial in being able to attract funds from the state level to be able to put the infrastructure in place that's needed to meet current needs as well as future needs. Looking at plan consistency and continuity between the county and the towns, and making sure that there is consistency and continuity there with respect to those fringe areas where growth is occurring and sometimes busting at the seams in some locations, having agreements and being able to work collaboratively through some of the transportation issues because they cross all boundaries. And looking at regional impacts across the county as growth occurs outward from these centers that are already established. The next topic is historic preservation, and I had touched on that briefly before, but looking at historic preservation zoning ordinances and districts, looking at where they may be appropriate, where you already have some of those in place, where they maybe should be expanded, coordinating that with Main Street programs that are already in place and enterprise community programs, and looking at a listing or a gambit of tax incentives that are available to promote preservation of historic resources. Economic development. This is going to be important when you look at land use and transportation and public infrastructure like water and sewer, and are the current employment centers adequately supplied and easily accessible for all modes of transportation, not only for employees, but also for deliveries and truck deliveries and truck traffic and things of that nature. But looking at current employment centers and the location of new employment centers as growth occurs and whether you and what those population projections are and some of the demographics currently and what are the projected demographics that you might need for the types of employment sectors or businesses that you want to attract to the county and making sure that they're located in proximity to where housing is provided and communities and neighborhoods are going to be planned so that people can have easy access to employment centers and not in long commutes, exhausting valuable resources as well as time, and that quality of life can be raised for all residents within the county. Again, collaboration with the population consortium and a lot of integration with the other components that we had previously talked about. And then looking at some of the impacts of current subdivision and zoning regulations and giving indicators for the next phase, what changes might need to be planned or thought about. In a nutshell, that's how we intend to address the different issues and comply with the state requirements and meet the county's needs. With all the projects that we've worked on, and David mentioned this before, we've been a big advocate of our clients in being able to collaborate with state agencies and review agencies and making sure that we can get you to the table to get a positive reaction and response from them in the way of a review and meet both your local needs here at home. We have extensive experience in comprehensive planning as well as community development and economic development. Transportation, we do have a strong expertise there as well, but we have knowledge of a variety of implementation tools and techniques which benefits you and the ability to look at how can we best tweak those if those are desired tools and techniques that meet the needs of the future for Sussex County. And then a knowledge of a variety of funding and implementation strategies. We have, with every client that we've worked with, we've been asked to put in a very detailed implementation strategy together that looks at those specific funding sources that you can tap into to meet your infrastructure as well as your development needs. And then being able to marry that with what types of capital improvements are necessary with the expertise in the areas of water and sewer and transportation. And I thank you.
You talk that fast all the time.
When I'm in front of the public, I do not. And I know we have public back here, but we knew that you had a time constraint.
I talk faster than that.
Thank you.
Mr. Cole.
Thank you.
A couple questions.
Yeah. You talked about a vision, April, a couple times. And the difficulty I've seen over the years is for the county. It's easy for a community. When you said there's a difference between community and county. The county is so large, we're like the second largest something east of Mississippi or whatever. Like, How do you propose to get a vision? We haven't been able to get one here. How do you propose to bring us to some kind of vision for this entire county?
Yeah, that's, I understand your dilemma because you can have confusion.
April, you want to come back up?
Sorry. Okay. I apologize. I understand your dilemma because as you go through that process, you will probably have visions that will emerge that may be competing against one another, maybe inconsistent in a couple of areas. But
every Tuesday.
Yeah, you live it. But we have to go through that process, and it's a process of communities educating us as consultants so that we can hear and listen to what the issues are and what their vision is, and us to be able to educate them so that we can build consensus as we go through that process so that each community and each interest can see a bit of their vision in the overall vision for the county.
Okay, but during your presentation, I kept seeing an emphasis on community. I'm trying to think, does that mean a small entity, which is easy to deal with? Because I just like design for community, you know, a community design you referenced, you know, right. In the planning. I don't know, you know, again, to get a community design for Sussex County is difficult. Are you going to be able to break it up in little pockets? And I mean,
that's a good question. Yes.
And have different ordinances for all these areas. And that's where this council over the years has tried to keep it simple as possible, you know, and like a one size fits all.
Yeah. You want to keep it as simple as possible, but, we will hear from the communities, and through our research, we're going to probably at some point come to realization whether one size fits all, or if you're at a point in your development patterns where you need to look at being able to break the county into different regions or different areas or different characteristics, whether it's a town characteristics, a suburban characteristic, or a rural characteristic.
You will suggest that, or will you wait till you hear it from us?
We would suggest it. We would be proactive to suggest solutions, but we always listen and be mindful of, you know, the desires of the local community and the county as a whole. And when I say community, it's generic in the broad sense. It can mean the county, and then it could be very specific, dealing with a specific location or an area that may be more rural in nature that has a specific need.
And one quick, and then I'll be done. Community involvement. You have a line down your whole thing says, public involvement or whatever.
Yeah.
Is there any, like, big meetings or anything, or is it just, how do you do that all the way along?
We typically scatter use of the different tools to obtain public involvement throughout their entire process. Like earlier on, we like to conduct key person interviews because we get to do one-on-one or small group discussions to find out what some of the issues are ahead of time. And then we have a public meeting earlier on in the process, and it would be probably located at different locations throughout the county, the same type of meeting being held.
But you do realize typically just the agenda-driven people show up to those, and the general public usually just kind of sits back till they see a final product.
Right.
Then they sign to kind of start reading it slowly.
Right, and some of the other things that we do in addition to public meetings, we try to coordinate dissemination of information and display of information at community events and activities with mobile display boards. And we also have, I'd mentioned, the ability to do community surveys and questionnaires where we can either put it online or circulate it in mailings that are routinely going out to different locations or with different mailings that maybe go out with the county or the local municipalities or groups or organizations. So, and then as we go through the process again, we'll keep having more meetings and more discussions as we get more specific information and details about the plan so that, you know, hopefully you start out broad and you get very specific as you go through this process.
Every time more meetings means less involvement because people get tired.
Yeah. Well, and you have to be mindful of that. That's why we pick and choose different methods.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Phillips.
Throughout your presentation and